Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, we've been working our way through this book throughout the last few months. We find ourselves this morning in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we will be reading the verses 1 through 8 as the Apostle Paul writes to us, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, concerning the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the verses 1 through 8, let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. During the last few weeks, I've had many people, both inside this church and outside this church, come up to me and say, Pastor, I think that the recent disasters we have been having in this world are an indication that the day of the Lord, the Lord's return, is getting close. In December, we had some 230,000 people killed in a tsunami in Asia. A major hurricane comes and nearly destroys the city of New Orleans, followed by several major hurricanes that follow. A major earthquake strikes in Pakistan, killing some 80,000 people. Certainly, we can say with the Apostle Paul, as he wrote in Romans 1, that the wrath of God is being revealed against all mankind. But should we interpret these signs concerning the day of the Lord that it is imminent? In the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is answering similar questions. They have questions, his readers, concerning the day of the Lord as to when it will come and what will take place before that specific day. And you will see in our text this morning that instead of putting the focus on the when and whether we can know the when, the Apostle Paul puts the focus on being ready. The church in Thessalonica had many questions concerning the day of the Lord. At the end of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, the apostle begins to answer some of those questions. One question they had was, what happens to believers who die? Are they going to miss the day of the Lord? And the apostle answers that in verse 15, for we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Another question they have is, what will that day of the Lord be like? What will happen on that day? What will we see? What will we experience? In verse 16 and 17, the apostle answers that. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. What a glorious picture and indication concerning the Lord's coming and what that day will be like. But there are still more questions for the Thessalonians. What about the time? Is it near? Has the Antichrist come? Does this particular disaster that's happened in the world, does that indicate, Paul, that the day of the Lord is near, that it's coming? How long do we have to wait? In chapter 5, the Apostle Paul answers that question. You would think, as the Apostle writes, as an apostle of Christ Jesus, as someone whose very words on the page is the inspired word of God as he writes, that we could ask Paul and he could let us know that day. Well, look how Paul answers, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. Jesus left us some information in the Gospels. I have no need, writes Paul, to add any more information. In fact, in Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus told us that no one knows the day or the hour, not even the Son, but only the Father in heaven. If Jesus wouldn't answer the question, Paul writes, why should I? I have nothing more to write to you. God's Spirit has not inspired me to add anything more to what the Lord Jesus has already said. In fact, concerning the times and the seasons, Paul writes in verse 2 that we can never know. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Again, he's picking up on the language of Jesus in Matthew 24 concerning a thief in the night. How does a thief in the night come? Can you plan on him? Can you get your house ready and say, well, I know the thief is going to come a couple nights from now, and I can tell by these certain signs and these certain indications about my house that I'm going to have a thief in my house in a couple nights. You can't know. You can't prepare. The thief comes while you're sleeping and all of a sudden he's there. You cannot see him. You cannot plan for him. You do not expect him. All of a sudden, out of the darkness, the thief is there. And Paul says, verse 2, you are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come, and as the Lord himself said, like a thief in the night, he will come, unexpected, without any signs to tell us. Verse 3. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. As Paul writes more information concerning this in verse 3, the indication is almost the opposite. The indication, he writes, is that people are going to say, look, there's peace and security in this world. It doesn't write concerning natural disasters. Paul writes concerning the unexpectedness for the unbeliever. While thinking there is peace and security in this world, suddenly labor pains will come. Now, my wife is awaiting labor pains. We don't know what day it will come. We do not know, have any idea, it's up to the Lord, when the labor pains will start and when the baby will be born. All we can do is wait. Paul writes that that's the way it is concerning the Lord's coming. Suddenly, labor pains, unexpected, will come. Suddenly, as they come upon a pregnant woman, they will come upon the unbeliever and they will not escape. As people think there is peace and security, writes Paul, sudden destruction will come as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman and they will not escape. So you can see in these first three verses that the apostle is making it clear that he does not know of this day, that if the Lord himself did not know, so Paul does not know. Though an apostle, though he writes the Word of God, though he is inspired as he writes by the Holy Spirit, he will not write of the time or the season. He will stay away from those details. And as he continues, he helps us to put our focus on what we should think of concerning the Lord's coming. What is that focus? Verse 4. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to come as a surprise to you like a thief. He returns once again to his analogy of a thief. And he reminds the believers that they are not in darkness. They are not in sin. This day will not come like a thief for you, as it will come for those who are in darkness, in peace and security. Verse 5, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. He describes them as children of the light, children of the day. What does it mean to be children of darkness, children of the night? It means that you are a person who is engulfed or surrounded by your sins. Your mind is not focused on God. Your mind is not focused on the Lord and His returning, because your mind is focused on self-pleasure and the things of this world. Do you see how the apostle is beginning to develop this contrast in these verses as he continues writing concerning this day? A contrast between those who belong to the light, those who know Jesus Christ, the light of the world, those who know of his death and resurrection, those who know that he died on the cross to conquer sin and darkness and rose from the grave in that bright light. That's what enables them to be children of light, children who do not belong to the sin and darkness of this world, because they have been redeemed by Him. So what then does the believer do? Paul has set up the contrast for us. He has reminded us that we do not belong to the darkness, that we will not be surprised like a thief, because we are aware of the Lord's coming. What are we to do? Verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. The imagery that the apostle is using is a description of sleep, a description of drunkenness. This is his description of those who do not belong to the light. Those whose lives are surrounded by the things of this world, by the things that they're involved in, by the pleasures of this world, by things which they like to do because it makes them feel good, or they like to be involved, and their focus is not on the day of the Lord, but on themselves. You see, that description is given concerning sleeping, concerning drunkenness. It's like they are in a state where they aren't aware or thinking concerning the things of the Lord. They're living. They function in this world, but the time of the Lord's coming is not something they think about. Ways to serve the Lord is not something they think about. Going to church and to worship the Lord is not something they think about. Spending time reading the Scriptures and praying to God is not something they think about. They are focused on the things of this world. And Paul tells the believers in Thessalonica, Paul tells us in verse 6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake. Let us be sober. Let us be aware and conscious of the things of God, not letting the things of this world cause us to take our minds and thoughts off of Him and His imminent return. So then, what do we do? Where do we find our strength? How do we know that we can live and have confidence that we do not belong to the darkness of this world and the things of this world? Verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Paul describes them as belonging to the day. We don't belong to the darkness. We belong to the day. And he tells them to be sober, or in some of your Bibles, it's translated self-controlled. Why? Because we have put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet for the hope of salvation. The NRSV translation translates that verb in verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put it on. Put on the breastplate. Put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. But the Greek more accurately reflects the other translations and the one I'm using this morning. Having put on. That means it's already on. That means you are already wearing these things. Now you notice those words that the apostle has used. You've seen them before. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet for the hope of salvation. Faith, love, and hope. You see, that is where the apostle began. When he began his letter in chapter 1 in the beginning, he told them in verse 2 and 3 that he remembers in his prayers their labor of love, their work of faith, and their steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his description of the Trinity in those verses, at the end of verse 1, he writes concerning God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, he writes to them concerning the fact that in his prayers, they are in the presence of our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith, their hope, their love is in the presence of God. You see, they are already wearing these things because they are children of light. These things belong to them as children of God. These things are their identification here on this earth that show them that they do belong to Christ and to God and not the world of darkness. And you would notice that as the apostle uses the military language in these verses, the military descriptions are not offensive, but defensive. A breastplate for protection of the heart. A helmet for protection of the mind and the head. You may remember in other letters the apostle uses military language. In Ephesians chapter 6, he again describes the armor of God. That time the breastplate is of righteousness and the helmet is of salvation. But in 1 Thessalonians, the apostle is bringing to us a different point. He is using faith, love, and hope because those are the themes of this very letter. When he writes to them concerning their identification in Christ with the breastplate of faith, he is referring to his understanding of their faith, which he has already referred to earlier in the letter. At the end of chapter 1, verse 8, he writes that the word of God has sounded forth from you, from Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that we do not need to say anything. What have they done? As believers, they, because of their faith, have turned away from idolatry, chapter 1, verse 9. And they have turned to Christ. They have put aside the drunkenness. They have put aside the sexual immorality. They have put aside the pleasures and the things of this world because of their faith in God. A breastplate on their heart. Later on, he describes at the end of chapter 2 concerning their persecution that they have faced. So much persecution, verse 14, that he describes them as imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did for the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets. He is concerned about their faith in this chapter. Such persecution, how could they survive? What if they give up the faith? So he sends Timothy, chapter 3. When I could bear it no longer, chapter 3, verse 5, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had come to you and our labor would be in vain. But now Timothy has brought to us from you good news of your faith. Their faith is their breastplate. Their faith in God, which enables them to turn from sin and the things of this world that they are already wearing, enables them to identify as children of the light. But the breastplate is also described as love, another theme in this letter. And as Paul writes concerning their love in verse 12 of chapter 3, his prayer is that their love would increase more and more for one another and for all as we do for you. Their love is rooted in Christ. Their love is rooted in his death on the cross and his resurrection, a self-sacrificing love. And as their love comes to one another more and more, they experience and know and are confirmed that Christ is alive and that he is coming because they see their love amongst one another. And if the church functions that way, what greater breastplate could you have for your heart? A breastplate which is focused on the self-sacrificing love of Christ, which you see within the body of the church of which you are a part of. A faith which is in God and not the idolatry and the things of this world. Though there is suffering and discouragement in this world, that faith is strong. And finally, the hope. The hope of salvation, which is a helmet for the head. The apostle has referred to this hope previously in the letter. In chapter 4, verse 13, he writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." Those who do not love Christ have no hope. They are grieving in the loss of loved ones. They have no hope, steadfast hope, in that day of the Lord's return. But for the believer, their mind, their head, what they do is focused on that day. It is ever before them. They are not in darkness. They are not in a state of drunkenness of the things of this world. But they are sober. They are self-controlled. They recognize that the Lord could come at any time, be it tomorrow, be it in an hour, be it this very day. And everything they do in their life is centered around that. Their mind as children of light is not upon things of this world. But their mind is always conscious that what they do, what they say, how they live, the Lord can come. And when their mind drifts from that focus, the danger is that he could come like a thief in the night. You see, Paul is reminding them in verse 8 concerning all of these things that he's written about, that their focus must be in the right place. Instead of trying to figure out the timing or the when, their focus is upon the fact that they belong to Christ, that in Christ they are equipped and clothed, that they walk as children of light with a breastplate on their heart, with a helmet on their head, in the knowledge that Christ, their Savior, of whom they already belong to, will return from heaven and take them to be with Him forever. As Paul develops the contrast, his language is rooted in verse 8. In verse 8, we find strength. In verse 8, we find confidence. In verse 8, we are reminded of our focus and the work of the Lord in our lives and where our hearts and where our minds should be. It is a reminder to not live as children of darkness, but children of light. We cannot know the day of the Lord's return. And certainly the recent events that have taken place remind us of the power and the wrath of God. And for the unbeliever, it should cause them to think concerning God's power, God's wrath, that there is a true God, that they should repent and believe in Christ. But God wants us to live not as if we can determine when it might be. He wants us to live as if that day could be tomorrow or today or in an hour. So that we are not caught sleeping in a drunken state of sin, but with the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope of salvation, we live with self-control as children of light, so that when He comes, our mind is not on darkness, but on Him and His glory. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come here today and hear these words proclaimed concerning the return of our Savior. And Lord, even as we hear the apostles' words, we recognize once again that our focus must not be on the when, but on what it means to be prepared. For Lord, help us to identify with the description given in verse 8, that we belong to you, that our breastplate is over our hearts, that the helmet of the hope of salvation is upon our heads, that, Lord, you would keep us from falling into the things of this world and the focus upon them, that our hearts would always be on you, that our minds would always expect your return at any day, that we would not be surprised, but we would know it true and expect it at any time. We ask, Lord, that you work in us as we live this way. Give us strength, give us hope, give us confidence in you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.